Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous Shir, as we had Baruch Hashem begun to learn the Gemara on this Perek, the Gemara had quoted Halachas that Rava taught us. And Rava taught us a Halacha Tinek Meis, if you have a child that's not alive, a kiss Tolu Loi B'Tzavaroi, and you have a pouch around the child's neck, potter your potter for carrying the child and for carrying the kiss. Ask the Gemara, v'l'chai mishum tinuk, why are you not chai for carrying out that child? Answers the Gemara, Rava, says the Gemara, Rava, Krev Shimon Sfirlei, Rava holds like Krev Shimon, Damar, that we've encountered Rav Shimon say so many times in our Masechta, "Kol malach shena tzrich legufa potter leh," and this is a situation on malach shena tzrich legufa, because as Rashi always explains, why malach shena tzrich legufa you potter? Because malach shena tzrich legufa, according to Rashi's explanation, is something that you're only doing in reaction to a situation. So here, when somebody's carrying out this Nifter, this child who's not alive, he's not doing it because he wants to carry out the child. Rather, it's a reaction that he doesn't want to have that Nifter in his home, and therefore it's not called a melacha. Tosfos' interpretation of melacha shena tzrich legufa is somewhat different. He says, as was the case in the Mishkan, all melachas were done with a constructive purpose to accomplish something. Here, there was nothing really positive accomplished by taking out the nifter, and therefore it's considered melacha shena tzrich legufa, and there you're potter. What about the kiss that is around the neck of this tinoik? So the Rashba says that when somebody, Rachman Tzlan, Le'eleinu V'le'eleichem, is carrying out a child who passed away, he doesn't think about any pouch that's around the neck of that nifter. And therefore, it's consequential to him, and therefore, just like if somebody were to carry out a nifter who's wearing clothing, the clothing that he's wearing become bottled to the nifter, here too, the pouch is considered bottled to the nifter. Ask the Gemara, going back to what we discussed in yesterday's shiur, the Rava's opinion was that if somebody carries a living child, Baruch Hashem, who has a kiss around his neck, so we learned that now a pouch is around his neck. We learned that he's chayiv for carrying the pouch, as we discussed in the end of yesterday's shiur, because the pouch has its own significant, independent significance. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, noitlas oydem espanoi, a person could go with his son in the chatzar, ve'evin biyodai, and his child is holding a stone. And it's not considered as if you're carrying the muksa. So from that we should learn that just like the stone, it becomes connected to the son, to the child, the kiss should not be considered that you're carrying the kiss, because the kiss is part of the child. Now, of course, the Rishonim make a very important point. Rav is speaking about a malacha deraisa of Aitzah. Our Mishnah is talking about muksa. So how could we connect the two cases? So the answer is that even though this is of course a deraisa, and this is the Rabbanan says the Ritva, it doesn't change the reality that if it's not considered I'm carrying muksa, it should be also not considered as if I'm carrying the kiss. Amri de Beir Abyanai. So answers the Gemara, Amri Debar Rihanna, B'tanu Shesh Le'gugun Al-Aviv. Our Mishnah is not speaking about a usual case. Our Mishnah is talking about a situation where the child is very connected to the father, and the child needs this stone, he will not calm down, he can get sick. Of course, it's not a situation of Sakonis Nefashis, as Rashi points out, because of Sakonis Nefashis, we're always lenient, but here, we're not carrying something into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We're referring to Issa Muksa. And we're lenient because of this unique situation. Ihachi, asked the Gemara, if we're talking about unique type of situation, my area, Evan, why are we lenient only if the child is carrying a stone? I feel it didn't, Nami. Even if she's carrying, he would be carrying a coin, we should have the same heter. Alama Amar Rava, but Rava, in explaining the din of our Mishnah, Loi Shanu, the Mishnah of our Mishnah says that you, the din of our Mishnah, that you could carry your son holding their stone, El Ke'evin. It's only when he's holding a stone. Ava dinner, were he holding a coin, Asur. But if it's Gaguin, why do we differentiate? Answers the Gemara. Evan, if the child will drop the stone, which is really worthless, enough for Lolos Avilasuye, the father will not pick it up directly. It's a stone, it has no value. The dinner, however, when we speak about the coin, enough if it falls, Osavilasuye, the father is going to pick it up, and because the father is going to pick it up, we're much more concerned, because of course the coin is muksa. So there's a machloikus rishonim how to learn this Gemara. Therefore, Rashi says that even when the child is walking, not being carried, and the child is holding a coin, the father should not hold the child walking with his child who's holding a coin, because the same concern exists that if the coin falls, the father might pick it up. The Ramban says only in the case that we're speaking about, where we're carrying the child, are we concerned that if the coin drops, you'll pick it up. Because the person is going to assume that just like I'm allowed to carry the child, I'm allowed to carry the coin. But if you never carried the child with the coin, and the entire concern is only to walk with the child that way, there we could be more lenient. From here we could see that if you're holding your son with a stone, and the stone drops, then you're not allowed to pick up the stone. Because what we're learning from here is that the only heter is when the child is holding the stone, but not that you should hold the stone. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Rava, we learned in a Braisa that supports the opinion of Rava, that if you're carrying a child that has a pouch around its neck, you're chai for carrying that pouch. It says in the Braisa, Amoitzi Kalef, if somebody's carrying his garments from the Shus HaYochet to the Shus HaRabim, Mekupolim u'menachem al-kseifei, folded on his shoulders, sandal of a tavos b'yodav, his shoes and his rings in his fingers, he's not wearing them, he's chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. However, imhayu lubish behem, if you're wearing them, potter. And the Rishonim make a very important point. Going back to the beginning of the Masechta, we explain that whenever in this Masechta we have the word potter, it always means potav al-osr. Here, it's not potav al-osr. L'chatchila, one is allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos. The reason the Braisa uses the wording of potter is because the next words of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamoitzi Adam, if you're carrying out a person, the Caliph Olaf, and he's wearing his garments, the Sandla Baraglov, or he's wearing his shoes, the Tabasa Biyodov, and his rings are on his fingers, potter, you're potter for carrying that out. Because we have the concept of chai noiseis atzmai. Now we understand, explained the Rishonim, why it says pata avaloser. Because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, one is really not supposed to wear rings on Shabbos. And therefore, because you may come to take them off and show them off. So therefore, in that case, the halacha is indeed pata avaloser. That's why over here also, the Gemara uses the words potter, the Braisa used the word potter, but when it comes to wearing garments, it's mutal chatchila. Vilu, what continues the Gemara? Hatzin kama shehein, if you wore garments, not if the other person that you're carrying is holding the garments, then you're chayiv, because the garment is not bottle to the person who's holding them, and it's considered as if you're carrying out the garment. Similar to the case of the pouch that's being worn around the neck of the child that we explained in yesterday's shiur, doesn't become part of the child, and therefore you're chai for carrying out the child. We learned in our Mishnah, you could carry a basket, ve'evin b'toichai, with a stone in it. Ask the Gemara, v'amai, why are you allowed to carry a basket that has a stone in it? T'avi kalkola bosses l'davar osur. Why is this kalkola not considered a bosses l'davar osur? Amar Rabba b'vachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hocha b'kakol malei peres askinen. We're talking that the basket is full of fruit. And since it's full of fruit, it's what we learned so many times in the category of a bosses list of a heter. And something that's a bosses list of a heter, of course, the aloch is not considered muksa. But ask the Gemara. And for here we learn a very important point, tells us the Ritva. That even though a bosses list of a heter doesn't become muksa, that doesn't mean that the muksa is not muksa. And therefore, if the muksa is still muksa, if I have a way of getting the muksa out of this basket, then the halacha is I should try to get rid of the muksa. So ask the Gemara, lishdini leperi, let's empty out the basket of its fruit, v'nishdi le'evin, then throw out the stone. I don't even have to touch the stone. I could just throw it out of the basket. And then v'nektin b'yadayim, and then pick up the fruits and put them back into the basket. And I won't have to carry the muksa. Answers the Gemara, k'revoloya marav, we're referring here to a situation, b'veris ha'matanofim, the delicate fruit, that if I will throw that fruit out of the basket, it'll get ruined. Hachanami peres matanofim. And therefore the option of throwing them out and then throwing out the stone and then putting them back in is not an option. And as the Rishonim point out, there isn't an option of being able to hold the fruit, because we're concerned that if you're going to hold the fruit, there's a lot of fruit, it may fall on the ground. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different way how to deal with this. Let's tilt the basket until we separate the fruit from the stone, and then we could throw the stone out of the basket and keep the fruit in the basket without having thrown them out. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chibar Ashi, Amar Rava, Hocha Amishna is referring to a situation of Kalkula B'chusa, with a Kalkula that has a hole, the Evan Gufa Nasa Daifan Kalkula, that the stone becomes part of the Kalkula, a part of the basket. And therefore, the Ritva says, it's not a situation where it really becomes part of the wall. Because we learned earlier in our Masechta that if that were the case, where the muks becomes part of the keli, so of course it's now part of the keli. It's filling up the hole, but not filling it up in a very tight way. And Tosfos says there's two ways of explaining this Gemara. One way he says is, we no longer need to say that this basket is holding peres ha'matanofim, these delicate fruit. Rather, what the Gemara is saying, that since the stone becomes part of the basket, so then all that stone is not considered muksa. Or Tosfos says that it's still referring to a situation of delicate fruit, because if it wasn't delicate fruit, we'd have to come up with a way to the devise of separating the fruit from the stone. Just because the stone is to some degree, as we just quoted the Ritva, serving as part of the basket, that's why if I combine that it is serving part of the basket, and it is also, we are also dealing with delicate fruit, if we combine those two situations, that's why we could be more lenient. So our Mishnah is, as we just said, speaking about fragile fruit, which is together with the stone, and therefore it's a bosses list of a heter. And if one wishes to move a basket containing muksa as well as non-muksa items, the halacha would be that he should first turn over the basket and spill out the contents, so he should only be moving the non-muksa items. But here there's no such choice. What's going to be the halacha? So what are we concerned about, as we explained the Gemara, about the fruit, which is the fruit is very delicate, and we're concerned that if I throw them out on the floor, they'll get ruined. What will be the halacha, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if the concern is not about the fruit, which is not muksa, getting ruined, the concern is about the stone, which is muksa, getting ruined. So as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, for that, I wouldn't be lenient. We're only concerned about non-muksa items. But we're not concerned about muksa items, and even if it means that they get ruined, it doesn't make a difference. The Beis Meir disagrees. That if he says, even if by tilting the basket, we're only going to damage the muksa item, one is permitted to move the basket of fruit containing a muksa item without spilling out the muksa item. So this shaila is very negay l'alocha l'maisa. We know that when we speak about the alocha bosos l'davar osur, the most common situation that comes up is the Shabbos table that has on it the candelabra. So the way we create that the candelabra, that the table is not a bosos l'davar osur, we put on the table chalas, a sefer, whatever, and that's how it becomes a bosos list of a heter. And because it becomes a bosos list of a heter, I'm allowed to move the table. But now, according to the Kivega that we just learned, why should you be allowed to move the table? Shake the candelabra off the table. The candelabra is going to get ruined by shaking it off the table. Rabbi Kivega says we're only concerned about the non-muksa items. We're not concerned about the muksa item. And it turns out that according to Rabbi Kivega, even if you made your table into a bosos list of a heter, it's not so simple that you can move your table, because you should shake the candelabra off the table, even if it'll get ruined and it'll spill, it doesn't make a difference. However, according to the Beis Meir, even if our concern is just for the protection of the muks item, it's already permitted. And the Magen Avraham also follows the opinion of the Beis Meir, and therefore, even if you're going to move the table, you have no obligation to shake off the candelabra, the muksa item, from the table, if you want to move the table, that's a bosos list of a heter. We learned in the Mishnah, metaltin truma, we can move truma tameya together with truma tamayra. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, lo yishanu, when is that din said? Ella shetahayra lamata, where the truma tamayra is on the bottom of the basket, tameya is on top of the basket. You want to access the truma tamayra, and you can't take off the truma tameya with your hands. Truma tameya is muksa, so you can carry the entire basket to wherever you need to carry the basket. Aval tahir lamala, if the tar produce is on top and tameya lamata and the truma tameya is on the bottom, shaklela tahira, take out the tahira from the top of the basket, v'shavaklela tameya, and leave the tameya on the bottom. And again, this is the point that we keep on making. You're only allowed to move muksa in a situation where you have no other option. But in a situation where you have another option, like we're discussing in our Gemara, that's what you should do. Says the Gemara, V'ki tahayra lamata nami. Ask the Gemara, even if the tahayra is on the bottom, why are you allowed to move the basket? L'shtininu, let's spill everything out of the basket. V'la kintinu, and then pick up the truma tahayra, and leave the tamei on the floor. Says the Gemara, as we said a moment ago, Amar Reveloy Amar Rav, Befeir Samitanofim Maskinin. We're referring here to delicate fruit, and if we're going to spill them out on the floor, they're going to get ruined. And that's why we could carry the whole basket. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Metaltan Truma Tameyim at Tahira. You can move Truma Tameyim together with Tahira. In Mechulin, or you can move it together, truma tameya with chulin. Bein tahayra lamala v'tameya lamata. Whether the truma tahayra is on top and the tameya is on the bottom. Or bein tameya lamala v'tahayra lamata. Or if the truma tameya is on the top and the tahayra is on the bottom. Tiyufta de Rav Chisda. Isn't this a refutation of Rav Chisda? Because according to Rav Chisda, if the tahayra is on the top, just remove the tahayra and leave the tameya where it is. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is going to respond that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the tzarech gufay. You need the truma tahira to eat, and if the truma tahira is on the top of the truma tameya, there the halacha is referring to a situation where you would just take out the truma tahira and leave the truma tameya where it is. The braisa is talking about tzarech mekaymai. Why need the place, as we discussed previously, why need the place where this basket is sitting? So I have to move the entire basket to be able to access that place. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chisda. So what forced Rav Chisda to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the Tamei is on the top and the Tahir is on the bottom, and the only reason I can move it is because I Tzarek Gufoy, and the Mishnah is speaking about the Tzarek of Tzarek Gufoy, why don't you just say that our Mishnah as well is talking about Tzarek Mekaymai, and therefore you can move the basket, and it makes no difference what's on top and what's on bottom? Answers the Gemara, Rav Chisda said it because the Mishnah points in that direction, that the Mishnah is speaking about a tzarech gufa situation. Because the Mishnah on Amud Beis teaches us the Tani Sefer, Mas Alakar, if you have money on a pillow, Menas Akar Ve'en Noiflis, you can shake off the pillow and the money will fall. When is that halacha? I need to put my head in the pillow, and I can't put my head in the pillow if the money's there. So I could shake off the money. So I need the pillow. Let's say I need the spot where the black pillow is. Then I could pick up the entire blanket, voiding all over the money on it. So what do we see? Well, mid the safest. So why is that halacha that you should shake off the money and not just carry the pillow wherever you want? Because it's talking about a situation that it's tzarich gufay. So that's what pushed Rav Chisda to say that the reisha is also referring to a situation of tzarich gufay, and that's why there's a difference if the tamei is on top or on the bottom. We learned further in our Mishnah, Rav Yudam Af Malan, if we have a mixture of truma tahira, of truma with chulin, if you have the proper ratio of 100 chulin to 1 truma, you're allowed to take it off. Ask the Gemara, how can you do that? V'amai, hokamasakin. Aren't you fixing this by making it edible, by taking out? The halacha is that if you have this mixture, it indeed becomes bottle. But even though it becomes bottle, the halacha is you have to take it out, you have to take out the amount of truma and give that amount to the kohen, says the Gemara. So by doing so, aren't you being masakin? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar Sfirlei. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Elazar. Dama truma be'ena machsa. The truma is always halachically considered separate. And since it's considered separate, it's not doing a ma'isa tikkun. Because when is it considered that you're doing a ma'isa tikkun? If it's mixed together. But here, if the halacha looks at it as if it's separate, therefore, it's not considered that you did a ma'isa tikkun. The Tanan, because it's a Mishnah Masechta Trumas, that discusses our situation. Saw truma shenafel pachas v'meya. If a saw truma falls into less than 100 saw of chulin, so it's not bottle. V'nidmu. So we now have a mixture of truma and chulin. And now this mixture, part of that mixture falls into another pile of chulin. Reb Elazar Omer, what is the formula? We don't say that we look at the ratio, and let's say it was a 50th truma. So say a 50th of what fell into the next batch of chulin is chulin. Rather, we look at the sod that fell out of this mixture was an entirely truma. Why? Because obviously Rebbe Elazar says that that sod truma that was in that mixture always remains separate and distinct. Exactly what we said is going to be the explanation for Rebbe Yehuda. We look at what was the ratio, what were the proportions in the first mixture, and whatever were the proportions in the first mixture, that's the way we say fell into the second mixture. So we see that Rebbe Elazar obviously holds that whatever was there remains separate. And Rabbanan hold that no, it becomes completely mixed up. So if Rebbe Elazar holds it remains separate, that's why taking it out on Shabbos is not considered a ma'isa tikkun. Ask the Gemara. Aim of the Shabbat. You know when Rebbe Elazar said his psak, it was l'chumra to say that if it falls into a second mixture, I look at it as if the entire amount that fell in was truma. But here we're using it for a kula. Likula mishamatle. Did we hear that Rebbe Elazar is going to apply this concept for kula? Says the Gemara. Rebbe Yehuda is based al Huda Amakur Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Yehuda is basing his psak on Rebbe Shimon. That we see, that we always say that the truma that's in the mixture remains separate. Kiritanan, as we learned in another Mishnah Masak, the truma, trumas, saw truma shenafa lameya. We have one saw truma that fell into 100 saw of chulin, that at that point it's bottle. But as we said earlier, the halach is you take out one saw and you give it to the kohen. And before you had a chance to do that, lahispik lagbia, before you had a chance to do it, atchenof lacheris, another saw of truma fell in here. So the halach is hare zuasura. Because now what is the proportion? I don't have 100 to 1, I have 100 to 2. 100 to 2 is not bottle. Rav Shimon Matar, he says that it is going to be mutter. How do we understand the machlokes? The Tana Kama holds that we don't look as if the truma is separate. It's there in that mixture. And therefore, when another saw falls into that mixture, we don't have the proper ratio. We have 100 chulin to 2 saw of truma, not good enough. However, if Shimon obviously holds that the saw of truma that fell into the first mixture always remains separate and distinct. And since it remains separate and distinct, the first saw and the second saw don't combine to have a problem. Says the Ramai, who says that that's the way to understand the opinion of Shimon? Dilma Hassam, the machloikus there is a different machloikus. Ba'akumavki, the Tanakhama saw, the Afagav the Nafl Bezechazah, these two saw fell in separately. The Alocha looks at them, the man the Nafl Bas Achistami, as if they fell into one time. V'hal l'chamshin, Nafl v'hal l'chamshin Nafla. And each fell into 50, because if you have two saw in a mixture of 100 chulin, it's like 50 to 1. Which is not enough to make it bottle. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds, kamais a bottle b'meyah, as soon as one saw of truma fell into 100 saw of chulin, it becomes bottle. V'hati bottle, and now when you have another saw, and now you have a mixture of 101 of permitted food. Yes, there's a halacha, says Rav Shimon, that you have to give the kohen his a saw. We don't want the kohen to lose out. But the mixture that's in front of us is a mixture of 101 saw of permitted food. And now, when another saw falls into this mixture, it's bottling 101. But it has nothing to do with what we've been discussing, if the saw truma remains separate or not. And as the Rishonim explain the opinion of Rav Shimon, the opinion of Shimon throughout Shas, is that something which is eventually going to happen, the halacha looks as if it happened already. And therefore, even though he did not physically take out that saw truma from the mixture, the halacha views it as if it already happens. And now, when it fell in, when the next saw fell in, it fell into 100 saw of chulin. But as we learned, it's a great interpretation of Rav Shimon, but has nothing to do with what we're discussing in our shir, why this would not be considered a ma'isa tikkun. Says the Gemara, Elhu, Rabbi Huda and our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya of Shimon ben Elazar Omer, if you have this mixture, and as we said, to what you're really supposed to do, if you started with 100 saw of chulin and 1 saw of truma, and the 1 saw of truma falls into the 100 saw of chulin, you have to take out 1 saw. You don't have to physically take it out. As soon as you have a mind to take it out, it's considered like it's taken out. And so even though you take it out, you don't really have to take it out. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda said you're allowed to take it out. And we asked the kasha, the Gemara immediately asked the question, by taking it out, isn't that considered a ma'isa tikkun? The answer is it's not considered a ma'isa tikkun, because you don't have to do anything. You had having a mind, it's already good enough. And as the Shagas Aryeh says, because before a person does something, he has a machshava to do it. And the machshava is already the beginning of the maisa. And Shagas Aryeh goes on to say, there's nothing wrong with having such a machshava on Shabbos. Because when we speak about Hilchos Shabbos, what's always the critical factor is the maisa that you do, not the machshava. And that's the basis of Rabbi Yehuda. Because you really didn't do anything because you could have accomplished whatever you needed to do just with your machshava. Ask the Gemara, Misavala Kavasei, does Rabbi Yehuda hold this way? Ask the Rabbi Vinflik Polgalei. We found that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this opinion. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Shimon Melaza. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Malan Maduma, you're allowed to take out the saw of truma from this mixture. You don't have to actually take it out as long as you have a mind from this side and you take from the other side. So we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this concept. Answers the Gemara, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda adifim with Rabbi Shimon Elazar. He's adding to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says all you need to do is machshava, and that's what you should do. But actually physically take it out, says Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that far I wouldn't be lenient. Rabbi Yehuda is taking it a step further. He says, the machshava is fantastic. And since the machshava is fantastic, we're going to be lenient We should say that the machshava considered it separate. Since the machshava makes it be considered as if it's separate, then when you physically take it out, you're not really accomplishing anything. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, not only are you allowed to have the machshava, but even the physical taking out is enough. Rabbi Kivaganis Chuvis says that he had an uncle who he learned by, Rav Wolf Eger, was his Rebbe. And Rav Wolf Eger was very proud of his nephew, Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he says, Rabbi Akiva Eger says he got married far away from where Rav Wolf Eger lived. In those days, travel was difficult. And Rav Wolf Eger did not attend the wedding. But Rabbi Akiva Eger, his nephew, his beloved nephew, beloved Talmud, the night of the wedding, they made a suda in where Rabbi Akiva Eger lived. Rav Wolf Eger made a suda. And of course, and at that suda, there were Gedolei Yisrael. One of Gedolei Yisrael who attended that suda was Rabbi Shaya Pick. And the question that came up was, could you do Hafrosh's Truma with a Machshava? Why is it very relevant? Because Halach is that any mitzvah that could be fulfilled with a Machshava alone, you don't make a bracha. And the question was that we know that when somebody takes off Truma, you have to make a bracha, al Hafrosh's Truma. But here we're learning in our Gemara that you could do a frosh's truma, noisa ena b'tzadzeh. You don't have to do any meiser, Shimon ben Elazar said. And as we just explained, Rabbi Yehuda conceptually also says that that's the beginning of the frosha. So the question was, why do we make a brocha? So what they discussed was that the only time achshava works is when it's not truma that's obligated to be taken off by the raisa. But where there's a chiv, the raisa to take off truma, machshava alone would not be adequate. And there's another word. The Beis Shlomo says that if there's a difference about something that's going to happen or something that already happened, he says that the noisa ena b'tzadzeh is adequate, but it's only adequate. And I think that's exactly what the Shagas Aryeh meant to say as well. Because ultimately, the machshava is the first step towards the maisa. First, I have a machshava that I'm going to be mafresh to truma. And then ultimately, I'm physically going to be mafresh to truma. But since that's only a first step, but ultimately will lead to an act, it's not considered something that's only done by machshava. Says the Mishnah, Evan Shalpi Achavos. If you have a stone on a barrel of wine, and you need to get the wine. You need to get to that wine. And as we've been discussing, the stone is muksa. The loch is mata al tzida. Pick up the barrel and tilt it. V'hinoi fellas, and the stone will fall off. Hoisa ben achavis. But let's say the barrel is amongst other barrels. And if you'll pick up the barrel and you drop the stone, it'll break the next barrel. The loch is, says the Mishnah, magbia. Pick up the barrel with the stone on it and take it away from all the barrels. And there, wherever you get to where it's not like that anymore, matal tzida, tilt the barrel, v'hinoi fellas, and the stone will fall off. Similarly, says the Mishnah, mos menach shalakar, you have money on a pillow, and you want to put your head down on that pillow, as we discussed the Gemara before, menach shalakar, you could shake off the money, you could shake off the pillow, v'hinoi fellas, and the money will fall off. Haysalav lashleshes, if there's a worm, something mius on the pillow, mekancha besmartut, the halacha is you could wipe it with a cloth, but you can't use water, because using water is considered kibus. Hoysa shalor, but if it's made out of leather, then noisun lamayim shetikli, you could put on it a lot of water. And this is actually the basis for a very interesting question. The Rishonim explain that what's the difference between leather and material. And the Rishonim explain, and the Achronim point this out as well, is that material absorbs water, leather doesn't absorb. And therefore, by material that absorbs water, we say shuriyosoi zukibusoi, whereas leather that doesn't absorb, we don't say shuriyosu zui kibusai. So this question comes up if you want to put water on a tablecloth that's made out of plastic. It also doesn't absorb. So the question that the Paiskim discuss, if we learn the Gemara, the way we're learning the Gemara, a plastic tablecloth should have the same din as leather, and you should be allowed to wash it with water. And many Achroinim discuss this question, and they say that yes, at first glance, leather and plastic should be treated the same, but we're dealing here with Issa Deraisa, and therefore the Shevet Alevi and the Michel Shloima say that even though there's a great Svara, we can't pass in Shilas just based on a good Svara, and they're not prepared to be lenient in putting a decent amount of water to clean a plastic tablecloth. Says the Mishnah Amarav, Huna Amarav, we learned that when you have a stone on the basket, you're allowed to turn it over. Amarav, Huna Amarav, Loishan Ala B'Shekech, that you didn't leave that stone there deliberately. Ava B'Niach, if you left that stone there deliberately, so now we have a new situation. Nasis Bosos L'Dover Osir, and if it's a Bosos L'Dover Osir, then the halacha is you can't move something that's a Bosos L'Dover Osir. So I saw a very interesting question that the Chashuki Chema discusses. He says if there's only Isser on an object and it was left there deliberately, it becomes a Bosos L'Dover Osir. So the question that he discusses, let's say somebody has a refrigerator, and in the door of his refrigerator, he only has muksa items. All the food that he has there, well, let's say it's a little easier to understand, and you have the door of your freezer, and you have shelves on that door. And all the food that's in the shelves of that freezer is meat, raw frozen meat, which we've discussed already previously, that the halacha is that raw frozen meat is muksa. So does that door become a Bosos L'Dover Osir? And if the door is a Bosos L'Dover Osir, you can't open and close the door of that refrigerator on the freezer. So the Chashuki Chemed wants to be lenient. He says, if in the refrigerator or in the freezer, there are foods that are not muksa, he says, so that means we don't look at the door of the refrigerator or the door of the freezer as a separate entity from the refrigerator or freezer. We look at it as one unit. And since we look at it as one unit, if there's food that's not muksa there, it becomes a bosses lissa veheter. There's an interesting question. Here we said, if you left it there deliberately, it becomes a bosses l'dover osur. The question is, but if it was shecheich, it's not. So Truma Deshin says that if somebody put something on the table, with the intention, something muks on the table, with the intention to remove it, and then he forgot to take it off before Shabbos, that's considered shecheich. But let's say you put it down on Shabbos without any specific intention, that's going to be considered meniach. Continues the Truma Sedeshin, that's only an erev Shabbos. But if you did so during the week, and then you left it on the table without any specific intention, and then you leave it there on Shabbos, that's considered shecheich. That's the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshin. The Beis Yosef disagrees. He says there's no difference between Erev Shabbos and the rest of the week. As long as I did not put it on the table or wherever deliberately with the intention of leaving it there all the time, it falls into the category of shecheich. So we learned in the Mishnah that if the barrel was amongst, with a stone on top of it, was amongst other barrels, then the halacha is pick up the barrel and move it and tilt it wherever you moved it to. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that holds the whole Eicha Medika Surva Teira? We have in front of you something awesome, something mutter, but Teira Tachin, Besurla Tachinan, as in the case of our Mishnah, move the basket which is not muksa, and don't move the stone, and don't avoid touching muksa, says the Gemara. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel who said the Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us a Masech to Beyu Dalar Mabeis. Habayr Kitnes Biyontiv. If somebody is picking, cleaning beans on Yontif that have in them some impurities, take out the food, like we learned when we learned Hilchos Bayrur. Take out the food, v'ochel, and eat it immediately, and leave the psoilus where it is, because you're not allowed to touch the psoilus. The psoilus is muksa. Or be shemirim, v'ochel, take out the psoilus and leave the oichel in the keli. Be chaykoi or be tamchoi, but don't do it with on your lap or with that special type of keli that were used to do boirer for many days. V'tanya, Amar Shimon Gamliel, v'medvar mamurim, when is Basilus say you could take the psoilus out of the oichel? Sha'oichel merubah ala psoilus. There's more food than a psoilus, and therefore there's more tircha in taking out the oichel versus the psoilus. Av a psoilus merubah ala oichel. If there's more psoilus than oichel, and therefore there's more tircha in taking out the psoilus, divayakal bayir oichel. Take out the oichel and not take out the psoilus. Because if I taking out the oichel, there's no more tircha, we're now allowed to take the psoilus, which is muksa. And therefore, in our Mishnah as well, Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to hold, take the barrel and don't take the muksa. Ask the Merab, I don't understand. V'hocha, in our Mishnah, when you have the stone on top of the barrel, the ke'oichel merubah psoilus tami. Isn't it like where you have more oichel than psoilus, where Rav Shimon Gamliel and Basil said you could take out the psoilus? Here too, you don't, carrying the barrel is difficult. Why don't you just take the stone? Answers the Gemara, Hachinami kimin the boy l'mishko l'mishtakel yayin ad shakel. You can't get to the wine until you take off the stone. So if you're going to have to take the stone, if you're going to have to move the barrel anyway, you're going to have to get the wine. Psalus merubah l'oichel dami, and everybody agrees, don't touch the muksa. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hoysa ben achavius, if this barrel was amongst other barrels, magbia, pick up the barrel and tilt it and the stone will fall off. Tanya b'yosi omer, Hoysa hachavis menachas ba'oitzer. If you have this barrel in the warehouse where you have all your barrels, and you're concerned that if you're going to tilt the barrel and the stone's going to fall off, it's going to break the barrels next to it, or there's glass vessels over there that you're concerned if you're going to tilt the stone off, it's going to break those glass vessels. Pick up the entire barrel with the stone on it, take it somewhere else, or mata atzida v'inay felas, and then the stone will fall off. And then you could pick up the barrel, take out of the barrel whatever you need. And then the halacha is, after doing so, you could take it back to where it came from, because now there's no issue of muksa on it, because the stone is off. We learned further in the Mishnah, Mas Shalakar, if you have money on the pillow, you shake off the pillow and the money falls off. It's only where you forgot and left the money on that pillow. If you put the money there deliberately, and as we keep on learning that if it's a bustle davar aser, the loch is that you're not allowed to move it. When is the halacha that you could shake off the pillow and then move it? It's only when you need the pillow, l'tzarech gufay. But as we learned earlier in the shir, avol tzarech mekayim, if you need the place where you have the barrel there, but tatan v'ayin Allah, pick up the entire pillow and move it because you need that spot. V'ken tani chi baram midifti, lo yishanu el tzarech gufay. When is there a halacha that you have to shake the money off the pillow? When you just need the pillow. Avol tzarech mekayim, if you need the place where this pillow where the money is there, matatav adon olav, pick up the tie pillow and move it away so you could have access to that place. So we learned in the Mishnah, marshal kam nar, if you have money on the pillow, you shake it off and you could then, and then you put your head down on the pillow. Amar Ravashi, shacha aniki b'chatzur. If somebody left a wallet in his chatzur and there's money in the wallet, and you don't want to leave it there, obviously. Put on top of the wallet a child or a loaf of bread, and you could carry it. Now, this is a big chiddush, because till now we always spoke about tiltum natsad. Tiltum natsad is where you're touching something which is mutter, and the muksa gets carried along with it. Here, it's even more. Here, you could even hold on to the muksa. As long as when you're carrying the muksa, you're also carrying something mutter, the Gemara is being lenient. Amar Yitzchak, similarly, shach levena b'chatzor, somebody left a brick in a chotzer, and he doesn't want to leave it out, but he can't carry the brick. The brick is muksa. Nichla kikoi tinak, leave on it, put on the kikoi tinak, umatatlan carry it. Amar Rav Yehuda b'shelo Amar Rav Asi, pamachas shachu diskia, they left a pouch, malaya mos besratya, full of money in the street, above a shalos of Yochanan, and they asked Rav Yochanan, what could they do to be able to carry that money, not leave it out in the street? V'amalahem, henichole kikoi tinak, put on it, a kikar tinik with a tua and move it. Am mazutra hechusukahal chanishmatza, that the halach is like we just learned, that you can move something where mux is left in something, that only in a situation b'shecheyach. So it didn't become a full fledged bustles dava asr. Refasha mafilu shochach nami loy. You can't, even if shochach, you can't just put something mutter on it, only by mace bovad were they makel. Because by mace, we don't want the lave, the mace, to be left outside, and therefore they want to leave the mace outside. That's why they were much more lenient.